Fandango. All right.
So explain to me what this episode's supposed to be about.
Well, it kind of came about an episode a couple episodes ago. I don't know what it was that we were talking about, but I was saying it was kind of coming hard and fast, like bad movie Bukkake, and so I thought, oh my God, that's too good of a name to not use.
Sure.
So this is basically talking about the worst of the worst, like the absolute worst movies that you can remember seeing. So
Yeah, okay.
it's a celebration of the terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like deathbed.
Right. Anything, right. I got a list of 18. So, I figured we may not talk about, be able to talk about them all, but I just made a list of all the remember ones, like, oh God, this is a just shit. Yeah, and that's what we're gonna talk about.
I loved Houlihan and Big Chuck when I was a kid.
Yeah.
We're so good.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's what I was gonna say, is maybe Sizzlin', is he gonna, Sizzlin' Bacon gonna be on that?
Please welcome to join us. Yes.
I would say he
Oh
should
yeah, please.
just take my place, because I really, like I said, it'll be one that I can listen to and learn, learn about that stuff, as opposed to just kind of, because I'll just be sitting there.
Right.
I won't have a lot of
Right.
questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Because
Yeah,
really,
down.
the
They were
only
like
one,
childhood heroes, it's like legends, and
yeah, that's like the first, that was our, that was for me, that was like your first time where you
celebrities.
felt, well, not only that, but also you got to feel naughty because if mom and dad went out for the night, you stayed up late and hoped that you could get Houlihan and Big Chuck in before mom and dad came home from wherever they're at. Because you weren't supposed to be up at 11:30 at night, even though it was a Saturday when you were kids.
I think I was always allowed to stay up on those weekends, because
Yeah.
my regular bedtime, 9, 9:30, 10 o'clock as I got older. And then but as a kid, like weekends, it was like I'd stay up till 4 in the morning, not
Oh
Friday
my
night anyway.
God.
Saturday not so much, because I had to go to dumb church on Sunday, but at least Friday night was like the one night that was glorious, so I try to make every minute count.
That explains everything. You had to go to dumb church. I don't
I know. My whole fucking life is ruined because of that
Oh,
goddamn religion.
church.
I know. Dumb church,
Well,
man.
and it was so dumb that they didn't even try to get past you and say you have to pray. They just said you have to
That's
pay.
it. That's it. Oh yeah, you're paying a lot of ways. Oh, that's for sure.
Right.
Okay, well, hey, one last thing. If either of you would like to participate, we are celebrating Thanksgiving, November Sunday, November 16th, going to Monroe for our annual Thanksgiving Day celebration.
Ah,
So if
cool.
either of you would like to join us, you are welcome.
November. What's in Monroe?
Monroe is about 12 dispensaries.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah. So Thanksgiving, that's how I
Oh, I
coined it.
got you.
Thanksgiving, yeah. So we went last year and we went to a couple different places. Then for 420 we went to Monroe, and the first time I'd ever been there, I'm like, Jesus Christ, there's like 12 dispensaries right across the street from one another. One there's like three in a big strip mall. They're like everywhere. They're just like, I'm like, oh my God, this is just fucking beautiful. So Monroe and same thing with Ypsilanti. So we thought we're gonna make every November, we're gonna make a trip. We're gonna call it Thanksgiving. And we are gonna make
That's
it.
awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, I say we get this thing going. How about
Hey, this is Robbie Rainey with Possessor and Carriage, and you are listening to Heavy Metal Hurrah!
I am Montag, Master of Illusion. What goes up must come down, but not always. And you are watching and listening to
Heavy
Metal
Horror.
Kitties, kitties. Oh, tonight we've got two legends from Unsane Radio, the Midnight Gadfly, and our very own Sizzlin' Bacon. Star
Sizzling
all,
bacon.
aka Sizzlin' Bacon in Monster Party Beach.
That's
And
me.
did you have a name in Sorority Sisters versus Sasquatch? I think it was just photographer, right?
I was just photographer.
I think photographer, yes. And then I know, I forget your astronaut name in Quest for Uranus. I forget which one you were.
I forget who I was too. I've been watching movies so long. I watched it when you first gave me my DVD copy. My wife at the time wanted to watch it, so we watched it like the week you gave it to me, and then I don't think I've watched it since.
I don't watch them by myself, but
Right? Yeah, that's me.
I know. Yeah, it's like I've seen them. I get it.
My daughter wants to watch them now, so
Oh, that's fun.
that'll be a whole other thing. Now she's
Yeah.
16, so she
Oh,
wants to watch
perfect.
them.
Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, well, a few episodes ago, we were talking about some things, and Chop and I were laughing, and I made this reference about bad movie bukkake. And go, oh, give me it, the worst all over. So I thought, yeah, I can't waste that. It's all over me. I can't waste it. This is today's episode, Bad Movie Bukkake. The worst of the worst. It's coming. It's coming all over you, and you can't avoid it. Oh, take it. Just take it. We are going to talk
So
about some of the
viscous.
worst movies we've ever seen, celebrate the horribleness that we have subjected ourselves to.
Oh, there's so many.
I know, I know. So how about Sizzlin' Bacon? You get us rolling. What? Give us one example. Give us your first on the bad movie bukkake list. What's one of the worst movies you've ever seen?
High Tension. Which it's got a lot of critical acclaim. Do you guys remember this? It was like a French horror
Yeah,
movie.
I've seen it.
Yeah, but like we're doing spoilers, I guess. Yes,
Sure.
sure. So the whole movie is predicated that this girl's staying with her friend and family while they're on break from college. Some mysterious bad guy comes in, kills the parents, takes her friend. She goes to chase them down because the killer didn't notice her. So the whole movie is a chase of her trying to rescue her friend from this mysterious guy who not only killed this girl's parents, but physically carried this adult-sized human through a house, put her in a van, drove around. And then at the end of the movie, you find out the girl that's trying to help the friend is actually the killer. And it drives me nuts because they don't explain, because there's parts in the movie where other people see the killer and the girl. And there's also a part where there's a two-car chase between the killer and the girl. And they crashed two cars. So if it was the girl the whole time, how was she driving two cars? And how did other people see her? And then all of a sudden, that's not the reality in the movie. That's one of my biggest pet peeves are movies that start really good and then just blow it in the last 10
They
minutes.
forget that they have to like follow the rules of like reality
Yes. No Country for
or
Old Men
something.
does that to me too. Just end it with give me an ending.
All
But
right.
that was the first of mine.
Okay. Gadfly.
Reefer Madness. I think Reefer Madness.
Yeah.
There are just some absurd scenes in there, especially when the guy starts smoking pot and he looks like he's about to lose his mind, and the whole idea that it's almost like a an
Elixir
education.
from hell.
Yes, yeah, I know, right?
Right.
It's an educational film. They kind of play it off like that, and it's pure
Yes.
propaganda,
Yeah.
and it's
Yep.
just yeah, it's ridiculous, and it's hard to even get through it. So it's so tedious and boring,
You have to
and
be high, be fucking high to watch that.
yeah.
Right? Oh, Reaper Madness.
Yeah. So, is there a scene that sticks out to you that's like, okay, this is the one that this might be the one that broke the back?
Yeah, it's the guy that where he's sitting there secretly smoking, and he's got the crazy hair, and his eyes start going, and he starts acting like nobody I've ever seen act on pot. You know what I mean? Like, people smoke weed, it's the exact opposite. They're usually just pretty like mellow and chilled out and stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was just the whole like then they had to play up how much of a bad influence and how much of a kind of gateway it was, and it was going to lead
It's a
to other.
gateway to jazz.
Is a gateway,
Yeah,
yep.
that's
That's
right.
right.
Yeah.
Gateway to
Jazz
jazz. Jazz is
and
corrupting
short
our youth.
skirts.
Yeah. All right. Well, the first on my list, and I've got 18 of them, kids. God Monster of Indian Flats. Now the thing is, because Chop Top was supposed to be here. Chop and I watched this at a Stink Bowl a long time ago. Have either of you seen God Monster of Indian Flats?
No.
Late 60s or mid 60s, no budget monster movie. It is atrociously slow and boring. And then, but when the creature comes out, it's like this mutation. It's like someone had a part of a camel, like a party suit, I think, like a costume. Like
Right.
part of it is like a mutated camel on two legs. It looks like a camel with a camel head and weird, that's the end up being the monster. But this was definitely shot like on no budget. I think it was shot without people in the shots who knew what was going on. It's one of those like really, really terrible schlocky movies that were made for like $100, thrown on a third reel on a drive-in when everyone's like fucking and no one's paying attention to the movie.
Right.
But it is an utmost horrible piece of trash. All right, Sizzling Bacon, back to you.
All right, because this is close to mine because I just watched it just for, I don't even know why I watched it again. The 2003 Ben Affleck version of Daredevil.
Duh.
Oh, you take one of the darkest, grittiest characters in all of Marvel, my second favorite Marvel character other than Spider-Man, and you let him get in flirt fights, displaying all of his powers on a playground to get this girl's name. It's like, hey, look at that blind guy jumping off of seesaws and
Matt Murdock, the gymnast.
Doing flips and doing parkour in this little playground. He's clearly blind, but no one, that was his whole gimmick in the comics, is no one suspects he's Daredevil because how could he be a superhero? He's blind. But then in this movie, you get him being blind, but showing all his superpowers out in the world for a piece of tail. And that's not even the worst part of that movie. It's so bad. He kills people. And I don't get it. It's like somebody read a Frank Miller version of Daredevil, which is what I think they were going for, and someone decided to wipe their butt with it and then reread it after and go, this is my movie.
Yeah, people who didn't know what they were writing. I hear the director's cut is better, but I have not taken the time to watch it.
It is slightly better because you get the director's cut, all they give you is they apparently cut a half hour arc of the movie out where you get to see Matt and Foggy being lawyers. So there's like a 30-minute trial sequence because Coolio, the rapper, was playing a gang looking guy, but he wasn't. He was innocent. He was getting railroaded, and so the director's cut just gives you his court case sprinkled into the movie. You get Matt Murdock lawyer
as a lawyer. Okay, well, I like that. Maybe not a half
it makes
hour.
Actually, it makes it slightly better, but they leave in that stupid playground fight.
Yeah, I saw it one time, and it was an embarrassment. Ooh. I'm like, nope.
Oh.
So I like the series that's on Disney. I love that series. That's great.
Love it.
So good. Oh.
Yeah. I think the only thing they did right in that Daredevil movie was having Matt Murdock sleep in a deprivation tank.
Yes.
Because I thought that was real clever. Because his sense, being overwhelmed, the only way he could sleep.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Rumor has it. Yeah. Oh God, so much. Yeah. Rumor has it we're gonna get Ben Affleck Daredevil in Secret Wars.
Oh really?
Mushing all the universes. Yep.
Maybe they'll have both Daredevils come in. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because you're also getting all the Spider-Mans again, and you're gonna get both Blades.
Okay, that's fantastic. And now who will Robert Downey Jr. be? Will he be Iron Man or Doom or both?
I think he's going to be Doom and then variations on Iron Man.
On Tony Stank?
Mm-hmm. Tony Stank.
Are you Tony Stank? That's one of my
favorite. I love Rody.
One of my
never
best
letting
lines.
That though. Go, by the way.
Yeah, so that one of like my favorite moments of the entire series. Like, oh, God. Yes. Yes.
One of the best Stan cameos ever.
Yeah. Speaking of, I saw the documentary about Stan Lee that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Oh God, it was really good. Yeah.
I need to see it.
So good. Yeah. Wonderful. I could watch it again and again. But back to Boo Boo Bad Movie Bukkake. My next one, the next two I'm going to talk about actually have the same star in them. This one is this time it's personal. Jaws the Revenge. That is right. Jaws the Revenge.
Is that the Michael Caine one?
Michael Caine. Don't you like this? Yes, Jaws of Revenge with Hoagie. Hoagie with a where the family moves from Amity because they move away because the Brodies and the killer shark chases them to the Bahamas. Like knows that they flew in the air from Amity, New York, left the island and knew navigationally to follow the plane to the Caribbean where they get stalked by the another great white shark. The only thing going for this movie is the fact that the underwater scenes are really pretty. Like they got a nice camera because they're in shallow depth, shallow water, because they're in the white sands and it's actually quite pretty. They're looking for conch shells. And so that's the only thing. Those scenes are really pretty. The movie itself is just hot garbage.
Yeah, it is. Well, there was a time when Michael Caine would not say no to a paycheck.
Yeah. That's what I was thought is like, how big was Michael Caine's cocaine habit in the 80s?
Well,
he literally did 17 movies a year.
Well, he talked about Jaws the Revenge and he said, someone asked him like, have you seen it? He goes, no, it's utter rubbish. And he says, but that movie bought my mother's house. Paid for the house I bought for my mom. So he knew the value. He was a working actor, he did the best with the terrible script. But just the premise of it was bad. It was just silly all around, unnecessary, so.
Well, it's funny that you say the cocaine because he said he was at a party one time and some guy comes in with that accent. He goes, "Where's my cocaine? Where's my cocaine?" And everybody's like, "What do you mean? You don't yell that out, And he was saying, "Where's my cocaine?"
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh,
that's
the
great.
80s.
Okay, I can break up this one. I can turn it over. Midnight Gadfly, do you have another one that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, The Killing of Satan. have you seen it? It's a 1980. We may watch it for on Sane Radio.
Okay.
It'll drive Professor Feather mad. it's a 1983 Filipino movie about an uncle who makes his nephew go and fight the powers of evil. And he encounters this guy called the Prince of Magic. And the hero's name is Lando. And there's a scene where Lando's getting chased by a boulder, that's rolling downhill. And it misses him and I think hits another guy that's next to him. And then
Indiana Calrissian.
Yeah, well, you hear this guy walking through the scene. One scene, he's just going, "Lando, Lando, Lando." And it just keeps going on and on. Satan is played by three different people in three different costumes. And ultimately, the Prince of Magic shoots rays out of his hands, and he can make people's heads spin around.
Wow.
And he can hypnotize them. So,
okay, you sold me. You had me at You had me at They Kill Satan. Because that's – wow. Yes, I'm in. It sounds crazy, like Inframan is crazy.
Yeah,
exactly. Like the Shaw Brothers. Like, that sounds zany.
It is. It's pure psychotronic too, just because it's as nuts as it is.
I like it that it's Filipino because there's some of the really bad exploitation. Uh-huh. There's a lot of exploitation that came out of the Philippines. A lot of the stuff like Pam Grier did, was first starting, that you see like chained
the
women
black mama,
or chained heat, black mama, white mama.
The white mama.
Yeah. I love Pam Grier. I adore Pam Grier.
Oh, Pam Grier.
Yes.
Ms.
Grier.
That was one of my first.
You're welcome to come on the show.
One of my first. What is this feeling in my pants? See Pam Grier pop up on the movie channel.
Yes. It's all the above.
Coffee so good.
Okay, I think my first experience like that was when I was watching Batgirl, the 1966 series.
Yes.
I think Penguin had her tied up on a conveyor belt. And I think that was the moment at 4 years of age. I'm like, what's that funny feeling down there?
Actually, I think the very first of those I had was Linda Carter's Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
When she would run, she would do the slow motion Baywatch run. Mm-hmm. And you got to see all the stuff. Ooh.
Mine was Angie Dickinson's Policewoman.
Oh my God, Angie Dickinson! I forgot about that show.
Yeah, I'm like,
I just watched Dressed to Kill too. I just watched Dressed to Kill like a month ago.
Just the first 5 minutes.
That's no. That's when I knew at the age of five I was becoming a man.
Yes. Well,
you just have to look down and go, what?
Yeah. To this day, I still have a fetish for purple glittery costumes.
Yeah.
You know, superhero porn. What's that?
Yep.
What?
My comic books are coming to life.
Coming to life.
Yes. My next movie also stars Michael Caine. And it has one of the best terrible lines of all time. But the bees have always been our friends. This is the swarm. The swarm is bad two ways. I mean, you get the regular 97-minute cut. But yeah. I found the director's cut. And that fucker is an hour longer. I'm like, Jesus Christ. We got like 2 hours and 47 minutes or 2.5 hours of bee madness. But I have to tell you, this is a terrible movie. It's a guilty pleasure. I will watch it once in a while on my computer, and I'll watch it at 1.5 speed, so it's not nearly as it's a lot more palatable. Like, okay, I can just enjoy this because I know it's gonna be bad. No, it's terrible. Overacting. Michael Caine is always screaming. Like every line is either screamed or in like a whisper. There's like nothing, no humanity about him. He's just on top. He's on 12 or 2.
It's like that horrible scene you always see clips of him. Was that Mandingo movie where we're very much not okay, we've got a dead boy here. Like there's no, because everything done.
Yes. Yeah,
well, I'll throw another Michael Caine in there that just popped into my head. The Hand.
Oh, I was gonna say that too. That reminded me when he brought up Michael.
Yeah,
my favorite scene. Stone. My favorite Oliver scene Stone is the sex scene, unsexiest sex scene of all time. It's like awkward and uncomfortable, sweaty, ugly. I'm like, oh my god, the '70s in a nut.
Yep.
And then when Michael Caine's like, it ends mercifully fast, and I'm spent. That's kind of what we added. So, yeah, up top, and I have that. We would say that all the time now, and I'm spent.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Hand is a terrible movie. It's like the remake of like other there's a Peter Lorre movie with a crawling hand, which is really creepy. Yep. I know it was supposed to be that really spooky kind of. I wanted it to be scary, but it is just terrible.
It was just Cousin It. It was just Cousin It with cuss words and ditties. That's all it was. I love that movie though.
Well,
that's just fun. That's fun to watch. Sound.
This could not have been segued if you had scripted it even any better. But my next movie has Hand in the title. I saw this once on Mystery Science Theater 3000, and the only thing keeping me going was MST, Manos, Hand of Fate.
Truly terrible movie.
Yes, or actually, technically, it should be called Hand of Fate, because Manos means his hand.
Yeah.
One of the worst ever. You know, and when I look at my movies, you know, like the Cyclops movies, I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know, they're pretty entertaining. I'm not saying they're good, but they're entertaining.
But they're fun.
And yeah, and they had no money, had no budget. But Manos, this thing cost people money. They had to pay actors and crew and lighting and all this garbage. And this is what they turned out. Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah, it is really bad.
While we're on 80s and cocaine, I was looking at a Maximum Overdrive. the one film that Stephen King actually directed.
Yeah.
Because he decided by that point, I'm so famous and I have so much cocaine, I don't need to just write books. I can write and direct movies. And this is what we get. It's like the plot is the stupidest plot you can think of. A comet goes past Earth, and the tail, whatever radiation is off the tail of the comet, blankets the Earth and somehow makes anything with a mechanical part come to life and try to kill its human overlords. But they're just so, it's like the movie takes place mainly in this little truck stop. These trucks these people are trapped at the truck stop by the trucks that are circling. It's like, if the trucks are trying to kill the people, why don't the trucks just drive through the truck stop to wipe out the people? You know,
they're
it's
going
like
to run out
you
of
get.
gas eventually, right?
Yes, but then you get the truck stop somehow, the truck's making some kind of a message to force the humans to feed them the fuel.
Yeah,
Because
but
that's the
after a
whole
while, when they
third
run
act of the
out,
movie.
it's
Yeah.
like, okay, we're going to wait a couple of days. You'll be all out. And then guess what? We'll just burn you
That's
alive.
how lazy, right? That's how lazy the writing was. It was like
Yeah.
that's the big deal for the humans. That's
Just
where
wait
you
it out.
see
It's not going to
that's
last forever.
Emilio Estevez's hero moment is him just standing for hours and hours holding the diesel pump. He's got blisters on his hands for pumping gas. Like literally, they have to carry him back into the truck stop.
I never finished watching that because it was so bad.
Oh.
I stopped. I did like the remake. Was it Trucks?
Trucks.
Trucks was a much more competent telling of that story.
Right, because Stephen King wrote it as a short story called
Right. And
Trucks.
it was treated as a short story. Yeah.
Right. And then when they said you can direct a movie, he goes, I had this idea. I had this short story for Trucks, and that became Maximum Overdrive. And
Right.
then somebody read the short story, which Stephen King wrote when he was not on cocaine as much. And decided, let's make the movie that he was trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trucks way better. Maximum Overdrive. Holy crap.
No, it's bad.
Oh,
Bad from
Lisa
top to bottom.
Simpson, just, oh, Yardley Smith, the whole movie. Oh, you just want to shoot her in the face. Okay.
Okay, Gadfly, you're next.
I often look up like what are the worst movies, and I thought, well, what if I looked up, and I did this a while back one time. I said, what is considered the worst porn movie ever?
Oh no.
And it's one that I came across was called Bat Pussy, and it was a spoof on Batman and the Batman TV show.
Wow.
It was so horribly done, just so
Oh.
bad. And it was like whoever met, like made it must have been on drugs because the framing you couldn't see half the time. You couldn't see the porn, you know. It was just utterly, utterly shameful and awful. I watched the whole thing. And I'm spent.
That's it. To the bat sock. Right.
I did the same thing with Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Oh.
Like 5 minutes in, I know this is terrible, but I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to watch that just yet. Blood and
Well,
Honey.
now they got Mickey Mouse.
Oh,
Now they
bother.
got
Yeah, I don't like Mickey
Steamboat.
Mouse.
They got a steamboat. I can't. It's Steamboat something, but it's
Steamboat Killer,
basically
Steamboat Willie
demonic.
Killer, something demonic killer.
Yeah, but it's basically demonic Mickey Mouse now that it's public domain. Like these movie companies, like they're sitting there like with a calendar that's ready.
Well, they
What?
have like
Public domain coming?
Banana Splits did their
Yeah.
one, you know, and as soon like the movie was already in production when Mickey Mouse, the old version of Mickey Mouse, came into public domain, so it was already ready
Yeah.
to go. You
Yeah.
know, they know when these things are happening and all these characters are coming, and like this is the absurd way of drawing a little bit of attention to what they're doing because they're not well done movies. You know, the Banana Split ones wasn't any particularly inventive or anything like that. You know, to me, it was a little more traumatic just seeing my childhood
Was, yeah.
companions like chop people up. Like, not, no, I'm just not gonna,
Yeah.
I'll reject all of this, you
Well,
know.
the next big one to go public domain is Bugs Bunny. So I'm sure we're gonna see Bugs Bunny porn and Bugs Bunny horror movies. But in about 10 years, we're gonna start getting all the superheroes are gonna start becoming public domain. In the next decade,
Well, there are already
Superman and
plenty of them
Batman
now.
both
Like, there are already
become.
lots of them. Tarzan, you know, is public
Yeah.
domain, and Dracula. You know,
Yeah.
there's lots of characters that are already in public domain. So, well, back to Bad Movie Bukkake. The next one for me is terrible. I wanted it to be good. There's one scene I still like. That's because I like the star. This is Exorcist II, The Heretic. Just so badly done. You know, I watch it. The special effects are you know, it's are really bad. I know it's Rob Bottin or John Borman directed it. You know, some of
That's
the
the most surprising part, is
yeah,
that
I think
it's
he's
a
learning his
John Boorman
chops.
movie.
John Borman's learning his chops because by the time he comes and does Excalibur, he's really refined himself. But you know, it's just a clumsy movie. This story doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense.
No.
Linda Blair looks really cute, and that's, you know, I kind of always had a thing for her, so that's, you know, but that's about it. It's
that's a, that's it's the reason I didn't watch Exorcist 3 for so long. And somebody said, "Oh, you got to watch Exorcist 3." And I'm like, "Really?" And so I watched it and I thought it's pretty good. You know, it's different than the first one, but so you know, there's one, there's three, and then there's that other one.
Yeah, then there's been like a dozen Exorcist movies made, you know, since, and they've all been pretty bad. There hasn't been.
I like the Exorcism. Emily Rose, go ahead.
Oh no, the Exorcist. Like there's Exorcist Believer, Exorcist this. It's all still tied to the franchise. Like here's Father Marin's story. Yeah. Here's this and that. So they're kind of going backwards. But Exorcism of Emily Rose, is that the one you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. I thought that was good.
A bunch of those.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Exorcist 3 is more of a direct sequel to the original Exorcist than Exorcist 2 was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because Exorcist 3, I mean, he's the whole thing. It's all the steps, the Father Marin steps that he goes down, everything.
Yeah.
Everything ties into what happened in that house where the heretic that was all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, they were trying to do the Linda Blair thing and then bring in this whole psychic stuff. It just didn't make any sense. It was a awkwardly made movie. It just didn't make any sense. The possession stuff with the whistles and the locusts and, you know, it just made no sense at all. Just bizarre. So another movie
and poor Linda Blair, what happened to her poor career, man? Like she's Reagan a couple times, and then the whole 80s, all she's doing is like softcore prison chick movies.
What's wrong with that?
She's in a movie with Ellen Burstyn. She's to start off with. She's in movies with Oscar winners.
Well, I think she was typecast for a while. Then she also had the bad experience with The Exorcist, where she broke her back. Yeah. You know that scene where she's flipping up on the bed, and screaming, "Make it stop! Make it stop!" That's when her back was broken. That's why she was telling it to make it stop. So I mean, that's terrifying. She did what the acting came around. I like Roller Boogie. I like Hell Knight. I think I love Hell Knight. Hell Knight
Hell
is
Night,
a
yeah.
really great movie. There's been a lot of the other stuff. It's just really not good. You know, but now she has a great foundation and she's a sweetheart to talk to. I'd love to talk with her, but she has all the questions about The Exorcist on her page. So that way, if you want to ask her a question or write her a letter, she's like, here are the questions you're going to hear the ask. So here's the answers. Yeah.
On Shudder, they have a TV series called Cursed Boobies, and they do one of the episodes on The Exorcist. So they've got a lot of great behind the scenes, and they interview her and you know, everybody else who's still alive. But the stories are crazy. Friedkin was a fucking madman.
Yeah. The way he directed.
Well, they had that first Exorcism movie that came out end of the year last year, where they brought Ellen Burstyn back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know she was still alive.
The Exorcist. Yeah. The last Exorcist, the one I don't know what it was called. Yeah, it wasn't good. It was okay.
It's not good at all.
There was a couple scenes that were good, but it was so very predictable.
Very slow, very boring.
Yeah, it was just forgettable.
Yep.
So hold on one second. Wow, big sneeze.
Gesundheit.
Ah, thank you. Like I knew it was coming, but like, oh, come on.
And I'm
speaking of coming. Here it comes, Bukkake.
It's funny watching you sneeze muted.
Yeah, I wasn't sneezing. sorry. Speaking of, where's my sock? No, it's all talking about. I'll talk about Ellen Burstyn. I had to grab my sock. No, this next one, I'm stuffed now. I'm so filled with bukkake. This is an Italian Jaws ripoff called Tentacles, and
that I haven't seen.
Oh, it is utterly forgettable. It has one of the worst. It's terrible, like soundtracks. I wrote about this in the school newspaper where I had been teaching before, and talked about the music vomits, the musical monstrosities vomit from the movie, like Yoko. The music flows like or vomits itself out like Yoko Ono's musical monstrosities. Or something like that. Yeah, it's just terrible music. Shelley Winters is in it. It has a couple like big Hollywood stars in this foreign production to kind of give it a sense of almost feels like a 70s, like a mega disaster film, you know, kind of thing. But but Tentacles feels like a bad Jaws ripoff. They even have, you know, similar cadence and rhythm, and just really bad. So
Tentacles.
Have you, either of you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen Tentacles.
I've passed it by on streamers like 50 times, but I haven't brought myself to watch it. That one I have not seen.
No, not worth it. Gadfly, is it worth the time?
No, it is not.
No. Another one that is utterly forgettable. Well, hey, I'll turn it over to you. Gadfly, what's next on your list?
I think it's I Spit on Your Grave.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
Which version?
Well, the 1978 version.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
they redid it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I
remade them in the 2000s and made like a whole series of them, like the aughts.
It was so disturbing to me, the extended rape scenes, and then the it's like Last House on the Left. I'm like, I think they just went too far.
Yeah, you know? It's torture porn.
It is. It really is, and it's very disturbing torture porn. You know what I mean? Like it was really. I don't even think I finished it. I think I got through most of it, and I'm just like I felt horrible. Like I just felt horrible. So
it's not kind of a movie you're expecting to see. It's the brutality of it was way more than I thought would they be showing. Yeah,
exactly. And you could have got the point across in 5 minutes that they gang raped her. That the entire first 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Is other than her getting to the cabin and the weirdo guy delivering her groceries, telling his friend that she's pretty. And then the next half hour after that is just rape.
Yeah.
It was like the Passion of the Christ, but rape. It just was nonstop and unrelenting. It was like, is this going to stop?
Yeah. The only movie
a hard one to watch. I like her revenge stuff is fun, but to get to the revenge stuff, you have to sit through all of that. And it's like, you could have done that in 5 minutes and then just give us the revenge.
Like Mother's Day, is it? They push it, but it's, I like that movie. See, I love the end and the revenge and all that kind of stuff.
You're going to use the Kodak bomb? You're going to use the Kodak? Yeah.
And Mother's Day has a goofy side to it, where I Spit on Your Grave, there's no humor anywhere in that movie.
No, no, that's bad. It's
brutal heavy. For brutal sake.
Yeah, it's like watching, I don't know, remember the director of Cannibal Ferox, you know? There's some scenes where are so fucking disturbing, like, I don't think I ever want to see this again, you know?
It's like Eli Roth's Green Harvest.
Or Green Hell. He was basically trying to redo Cannibal Ferox.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I knew when he saw it, I'm like, oh, there's no need to, I've seen this movie. No, I don't need to see it again.
Yeah.
Bacon, do you have any other on your list?
I got the 1983 sequel to the 1977 smash hit Saturday Night Fever. It is Staying Alive. Directed by Sylvester Stallone.
Wow.
And John Travolta.
And during his cocaine days.
During his cocaine days, when John Travolta was saying yes to every single movie that came along.
Because why not? Strike when the iron's hot. It should have been called Sunday Morning Chills, right? Like the old Who Let a Big Chuck episode or skit.
Like it's the same thing. Saturday Night Fever was like Grit. It's like these are low-life dudes that hang out at a nightclub. They're all trying to bang chicks in the backseat of one car through the whole movie. There's like rival gang violence shit. There's like suicide. And then we get to this. It's supposed to be a direct sequel. And it's like Tony the Tough Guy is now Broadway Twinkle Toes Tony and worried about, you know, he's just shacking up with different girls so he doesn't have to sleep in the crappy hotel he lives in while he's trying to get on Broadway. And the whole movie is just him and an English lady, a famous dancer from England. And you get a gratuitous Sylvester Stallone in a gigantic fur coat cameo. You can remember that?
No. I've never seen either one of them. I never watched Staying Alive. I never watched it. I had no interest in those movies whatsoever.
Yeah.
So to establish John Travolta in the first movie, he struts down the street. That's a whole Staying Alive.
I've seen cuts.
So in the sequel, he's doing that down the street, And then you just see from somebody from the back, you just see dark hair and like a gigantic fur coat that looks like it weighs 75 pounds. But it's also obviously summertime outside because John Travolta is in like a windbreaker and a t-shirt. And you see this giant fur coat, and they kind of bump shoulders as they walk by. And then when the guy in the fur coat turns, it's Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, I've seen that scene too.
Oh,
The passing the torch.
yeah.
It's like,
Well,
but how do you go from directing Rocky movies to Stay It
I
Alive?
thought it
I
was a
don't.
moneymaker because the first one was a big hit. You know, it's like people
Oh.
will come see it. No, it was I didn't see the second one. I saw
And
the first one because I was just that's the era that I was watching every movie that came out. It didn't matter what it was. I would, you know, I would watch things I would never watch again, like that movie. Or like the remake of Fort Apache, the Bronx, or that one, right? You know, like with the Paul Newman, like I would never see that again. It wasn't a good movie, but you know, when I'm 13, I'm thinking any movie's a good movie, you know, because it's a couple hours away and just me
Well,
and my own thoughts and just, you know.
and in the original Saturday Night Fever, as much as people just relate to the disco, it's kind of a dark story. But actually, like Travolta's character in the first movie has an arc. He starts off as a dirt bag
Yeah.
and ends up becoming a better person. And then this movie, he starts off as a dirt bag, just whoever, hey, can I sleep with you tonight? And he literally leaves one chick at breakfast to go sleep with another chick in the afternoon because he wants to somewhere to stay the next night.
So like a
And at the end of the
Saturday.
movie, and at the end of the movie, he's still playing like there's a, the girl, the nice girl who loves him, but he wants to be with the bad girl, the English chick. Right to the end of the movie, he's like pitting them against each other. He's like the dirt bag from get to get. It's like a Safdie Brothers movie. For some reason, those guys make movies where that's going to be one of my next bad movies, but it's Safdie Brother. But yeah, it's like there's no arc. He's just dirt bag to still dirt bag with bad Broadway dancing.
Okay. Well, my next movie might have been better had there been some bad boy Broadway dancing. My next two movies are kind of close in heart. We have the 70s Frogs. Frogs. I did write about this movie in that college newspaper and talking about the non-pace. I mean, there's nothing. It's just slow, boring. So the movie passes through you like a brick through the intestines. You know, it is a hard movie to watch. And these vile frogs, they don't actually do anything. They're just in charge. But I think Death by Snail might have been my favorite death, where the woman's laying there, and oh my God, and she looks over and there's a snail like 2 feet away. And it's just like, oh my God, the snail's gonna kill me. And she just lays there and screams and screams and like, get the fuck up. Just
You
walk
know what
the
that scene
fuck
reminds
away.
me? Do you know what that scene reminds me of? Is the first Deadpool movie where the bad
Oh,
where in the montage and the
the
guy's crawling
Zamboni.
across the ice and he's on the Zamboni like 20 yards away. You're gonna be dead in like 5 minutes.
That's great.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of frogs as well, Gethline?
It's one of those I think it's bad, but I enjoy it. So, I mean, I refrain from putting on my list anything that is bad that I like. So, you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, no, I get it.
So, but maybe at the end we could go, what are the bad ones that you like? You know, that you
Sure,
know they're bad movies and that they're.
Well, the next one, I mean, I can watch it, but these are bad, and these are ones that I have to be in a certain frame of mind, like I've lost a bet or something that I want to watch them. So this, other than Exorcist II, excuse me, this next one, along with Frogs, about killer earthworms. Squirm.
I've not heard of this one.
Oh,
I
it's
haven't seen it. I heard it. I have
what?
not seen it. I have
Oh.
not seen it.
Oh man.
Squirm. I got to write that down.
No, you don't have to.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. These
No.
earthworms, become carnivorous and turn on people and begin eating people. And they come out of the ground and eat you. And millions of them, you know, rubber worms are attacking people. And I think it's because like electrical currents are getting into the ground and shocking them and things like that. No, it's complete 70s trash, but
It
if you
sounds
want
very Kingdom, sounds like Kingdom of the Spiders type. Is that
It's right along. Kingdom of the Spiders has a little better production value. Squirm's a little lower on like Boggy, not as bad as Boggy Creek documentary, but it's above that. But it's definitely low. You know, Frogs and Squirm are really just, I think, would be a good double bill. Like if you really want a nap, then you really just put those on and you'll just be gone. Okay, Gadfly, do you have another one?
Highlander 2, The Quickening.
That one hurts my heart.
Yeah, we had this joke about how, you know, there can be only one. Oh, maybe two. Oh, maybe three. Oh, maybe three and a television series.
Right. Maybe six seasons and two more movies.
But yeah, I was so disappointed by it. It was so stupid. It was like just one of, you know, Sean Connery's so popular, they had to bring him back, you know, and is that the one where they're getting the suits and stuff? And
Yeah.
And it's
they bring Sean Connery back after he's beheaded on camera in the first movie. Not killed, not like run through, beheaded.
Yeah.
And now I'm back.
Yeah, really don't bother. And there's a director's cut too. So like there's a longer one that's even stupider. And you know, you find out he's an alien, you know, instead of being like this mystic warrior or whatever.
Right.
He's in charge of this dome that covers the city because everything outside the dome is horrible. And you know, it's all these bonkers ideas, which could have been handled really well for a completely different movie. It shouldn't have been a Highlander movie at all.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's like early bad CGI in it, like weird things where like they're surfing on something down a road with sparks. It was like, hey, we have an idea for a cool visual, but we have no story in mind.
Yeah.
So we're going to just take some characters people saw at the movies recently that liked Highlander. Cool. Let's do that.
Yeah. Well, those guys on the skates, the costumes were pretty cool. You know, they had there was some good design it was just a hot mess. I mean, the whole story and stuff was just, you know, did not.
Well, because it tries to rewrite all the stuff that it.
Yeah, it did. It
basically deconstructs all the good stuff of the first movie and then tries to rewrite it, the first movie, as a bad movie.
Yeah.
Like that's like a quality drop to me, like similar to Wonder Woman and then Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman was really, really good. And then Wonder Woman 1984, made by all the same people.
Should have been good with a great cast.
Yes.
Just did
How
not.
How do you go from this to this?
Such a disappointment. Because I love Kristen Wiig. She's fantastic. I thought, oh, God, Kristen Wiig is Cheetah. This is going to be fantastic. The script was just really bad. It was just bad and flat.
It was just not.
The first one was adventurous and exciting and really paid a great homage to the character, but really brought her into the 21st century sensibilities.
It's the too many villains-itis. It's like,
Cheetah's a great villain. They could have, you know, they were developing. That's fine. But
Cheetah in the comics is to Wonder Woman. Cheetah to Wonder Woman is like the Joker to Batman. So Wonder Woman versus Cheetah, that's all the movie you need. You don't need the Maxwell Warlord and the wish fulfillment and the putting Steve Trevor's spirit in some guy's body that has no way to consent to Wonder Woman basically raping him.
You don't need you can develop the Cheetah. That's it.
Right, but that's the same quality drop. Highlander, original, really good.
They did the same thing with the Superman. Nonsense. You know, Marvel handles the big team movies really well. The DC ones just fall apart because they just throw everything in there and becomes did it with the Batman movies. It did it with the Superman movies. It just becomes a clusterfuck, you know.
Even though I do have hope now because James Gunn's Superman was really, really good.
I liked it. I did. I hope we can do an episode Unsane Radio on that.
Well, they already announced part two.
Oh, good.
In May of 2027.
They should.
And we get Lex in the Lexo suit because that's what James Gunn tweeted. He tweeted the release date and a concept drawing of Lex in his Lexo suit.
Okay, so that's gonna be great.
And it's called Man of Tomorrow. The next one is just Man of Tomorrow.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, I've got a couple here. We're gonna keep on working here. The next one, another 70s movie about a creature in the water. This one stars I don't remember his name. It's about the killer whale. It's Orca.
Jesus. Richard Harris.
Richard Harris, Richard right. Harris. Richard Harris was in this. And hot on the heels of Jaws, this was like, here, let's do that. Now we're going to have you a compassionate killer. And just a terrible movie. The you know, the whole scene with the mother and the baby coming out. It's so traumatic and it's awful. But here's the angry whale coming to get payback. And like just like Jaws or Revenge, this whale seems to know wherever you are. Yep. Like the mummy, you know?
Or Free Willy.
The whale that can strategize.
Yeah. And like, if you know this killer whale wants to kill you, the best thing to do is to not go on the water.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you stay on land.
Dirt.
You're probably going to be pretty safe, you know?
Dirt. Under your feet. Dirt.
Orca. Terrible.
No, it's killed me, but when that movie came out, it's just, like the poster, Orca basically looked like Shamu. And that movie came out at the height of SeaWorld and all that stuff. Shamu's the most famous looking whale on Earth. And Shamu, little kids love Shamu. So let's make a horror movie, but we don't have Orca's on the poster, but it doesn't look too menacing on the poster. So I wonder how many people took their little kids thinking, we're going to see a Shamu movie. And then Shamu's eating people.
Probably the same number of people who took their kids to see Silent Night, Deadly Night in the early 80s. And then mothers were complaining, oh, my little poor Johnny was traumatized. Really?
Why'd you take him?
Did you not see the title? Look at the poster with the Santa with an axe? Or look at its R rating, you dumb fucker?
They did that. That happened with Deadpool. My son and I went into a theater, and we're walking in, and we're like, it was the first Saturday afternoon, and there's all these kids, and some of them are really little. And there was the part where he shows his dong, and he's been burnt. Oh, you just watched all these parents marching out with their kids and all that stuff. I'm like, it even says out there, not for children. You know, it said, right? I'm like,
well, and also, too, for the last 15 years, so prior to Deadpool, when they give you the rating now they give you the reason why it's rated R.
Yeah.
So Deadpool, when you go look at, even you look at the poster, it says rated R for graphic nudity, graphic harsh violence, language.
Yeah.
Harsh language throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's like all you had to do, Mom and Dad, was just put on your little spectacles and go,
right,
that's rated R for what? Oh, nudity. Okay.
Oh, well, a movie that defies rating because it is so bad. This one I bring up because of our beloved dear friend, the Blue Fez, and I Can't Fly. This is a movie we watched on his bad movie night. This is with Dan Haggerty called Elves. And it's a Christmas movie. Dan Haggerty, it is just laughably bad, just terribly bad. And have either of you seen it? Elves?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A long time ago, but yeah.
Yeah. And it's
my mom loved Dan Haggerty. Oh my God.
Yeah. Hey, I don't begrudge someone wanting to act and make a living acting, you know, and you are a working actor, you're going to take a lot of roles, and that's fine with me, you know. But it's just such a bad movie. You know, like this next one that I know that Midnight Gaffly loves, because we're gonna have this guy come on our show, because you don't piss on hospitality. This
Troll
is
two.
Troll 2. That's right, Gaffly. I know this is one of your favorites. You want to lead this one and tell us about why you love Troll 2, even though it's such a bad movie?
Because there's no trolls in it. There's hobgoblins. There's that whole scene. I just love the dynamic. It's so bad that it's funny. And especially if you watch it with a bunch of people, you know, who are, you know, having a couple of drinks and, you know, smoking some weed, you're like, it is bonkers. And even just the show we did discussing it, we were all laughing and, you know, at just how strange it is. Because that's on my list of movies. I know it's bad, but I love it. You know, it's
right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't piss on hospitality. And, you know, they didn't learn not to eat anything that was green.
Yes. The food was so really unappealing. And the scene I love the most is the makeout scene in the camper with the popcorn.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that scene. I'm like, oh my God, that is like the funniest, best. Like, you see that like in a Naked Gun movie, you know, and you'd be laughing. Like, no, tongue in cheek, firmly planted. Let's just have this crazy. Like, if they had done more of that kind of stuff throughout and leaned into the comedy, but they weren't trying to make a comedy. That's the thing, you know?
So
And
they could
that.
nobody could understand the director because he only spoke Italian, you know. So like the direction was all messed up, you know. People were like trying to look up what he was telling them and stuff. So that's
Like
why
a
a lot of that
spaghetti
stuff.
western.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's great.
Like
That oh, that's great.
when they used to film the spaghetti westerns in the 60s, but nobody spoke the same language.
Yeah,
You're just trying to wing it
the
on set.
direction was pop her cherry, not eat some popcorn.
I love it. My next one is I saw this one time because it came in the video store I worked at, and it has Reese Witherspoon and Matthew McConaughey, a movie they did while they were in college, Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Return.
I like it. I like that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I this is painful for me. This what I was watching, I'm like, oh my God, this is just so awful. So
All
what is
right,
it?
all right, all
What
right.
about this movie that do you like get by?
I didn't know it was a Czech Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie when I saw it because I came in late when it was on. So I got there maybe like 2 or 3 minutes into the story, and I'm like Matthew McConaughey is just batshit crazy in that. Now he has to crank his leg, and you know, and I'm just he's really just chewing up the scenery with that stuff. So, but then after I found out, I'm like, well, it's a Texas Chainsaw. Why is that a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie? You
Right,
know,
where's Leatherface?
yeah, it just like, because of the circumstances, I just went in blind, you know, and just didn't realize what I was watching. So,
Well,
but
that's
it again.
it's kind of like the Highlander too. They had a bad concept for a movie. They're like, let's throw this character from an older movie into this shitty concept and call it a sequel. That to me was what that Texas Chainsaw. It's like, hey, creepy cannibals from backwoods Texas. There's no Leatherface, but let's call it Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 because it's a cannibal family in Texas.
Yeah.
But that's not bad. But yeah, Matthew McConaughey, all the ham in that movie. Whew. He leaves no ham on the bone.
All right.
Man.
Okay, so Bakelin, do you have a another one on your list?
I have I have Elektra. So we're gonna go back to Daredevil. Elektra, because if the Ben Affleck Daredevil wasn't bad enough, let's make a sequel with his, again, a female character that we watched die on screen suddenly popping up in a sequel. Perfectly
Can't keep a
fine.
good character down.
No, it's like ooh. It's like nobody back then, is
I've
like
never seen
when
it.
they
I've
would.
never seen it. I had no desire. I like the character in the comic book. I had no desire to see the movie. But I
Well, in
just
the
did come across the director's cut, so I am going to watch it.
Well, in the comics, Elektra is an assassin. She stays an assassin. That's who she is. Even though she likes Daredevil, she's still a killer. She's all this.
Right.
And the Elektra movie basically turns her into a stepmom.
Oh, okay.
She comes across a generic dude love interest who has a daughter and they need help and she
Don't
rents
spoil it
out
for him. He's going to
there.
watch it. He's going to watch the. Don't spoil it.
Oh, I won't spoil. Basically, it's Elektra Mom Edition. There you go. That's the
Okay.
movie.
Well, that's
And that's
disappointing.
all you need to know to tell you how bad it is.
Okay, well, I guess
Let's take a ninja
I can
assassin
delete
and
that
turn into a
file.
mom.
Yeah. You won't
Well.
be missing anything.
Okay, well, just like the Catwoman, Harley, the Halle Berry Catwoman, I've never seen that either.
Ooh.
So I'm like,
Honestly, that's the one comic book movie I start and I've never been able to finish. Even
The
terrible ones,
Eternals.
I've been
The
able to
Eternals
get
was
through.
bad. I nope, I didn't put it on here. I didn't put it on this list because it's not really a horror. That's what all my list was horror stuff. But The Eternals was another movie I just like, no. We stopped
Terrible.
like 45 minutes into it. I'm like, what the f this is terrible. You
See, I
know?
went to see Eternals in a theater, unfortunately. I was like, damn it, I paid for it. But
Yeah,
Catwoman, that's the only one that I can't get past the first 20 minutes. And
Wow.
I'm out.
All right. Well, this next one is a good movie to watch if you're going to watch it fast forward to the good scenes. If you've seen it, this is the most bizarre kind of mix of genres, but we have Leprechaun 4 in space.
Yeah.
Not to be outdone by Jason X in the space, Leprechaun 4 in space. I like the first these Leprechaun movies are all pretty silly. You know, yeah. Warwick Davis is great. If I ever met Jennifer Aniston, I'd want her to sign my copy of Leprechaun. Not Friends, right. Leprechaun.
She's so young in that.
I know, exactly. Oh my God, you know, she probably doesn't get, you know, 1% of people probably introduce talk about Leprechaun, if that, you know,
right.
She'll remember Montag. I mean, so yeah, but Leprechaun 4, just silliness, just terribly done. You know, hey, I like how silly the movies try to be, but it just a bad movie.
It's like in the one of the Fast and the Furious movies where they went to space in a Fiero.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you've officially run out of fucking ideas of what to do with your cars, that you're strapping a rocket to a Fiero and going into low Earth orbit.
Yes.
That happens in a Fast and Furious movie.
All right. Gadfly, what is your next? What is your next movie?
Oh, it's not horror, but it has to go on the list. Batman and Robin.
Oh,
this is the abysmal. There's nothing good about it. I watched it once, and I will never go back and
watch
it. Is
that the one with Mr. Freeze?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Some of his lines are good. Everybody chill. Like, yeah. Okay, that's good. And the only thing I really like about, I mean, the costumes, at least the Mr. You know, when they, Mr. Freeze looks great. I like the look of the film. It was again guilty of too many things going on. Too many. Mr. Freeze was a, yeah, it was just like
Bane, Poison Ivy.
Way too much going on.
Well, I mean,
any one could have been developed nicely. I like the Victor Freeze story. I like Mr. Freeze. I think he's a very sympathetic villain. And
but then this movie came out shortly after Bane was introduced in the comics, like within 3 years of the comic book introduction of Bane, and Bane is introduced in the comic as being the one villain so smart that not only did he figure out who Batman is, he figured out how to beat it. And then in the movie, he's just a Neanderthal.
Dumb
he just
muscle.
Repeats. Yeah, but you know.
Because you can't have anyone outshine.
Like, we've got monkey business to be.
You can't outshine
Poison
Ivy.
Like, monkey business.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible. Like, go ahead.
And Batgirl being Alfred's niece.
Ugh. Yeah, I love the costume. You know.
Bat ice skates.
Yeah, I would. But no, we didn't see any bat nips on her though. No. I'm like, shouldn't there be? I mean, if we saw them on George Clooney, shouldn't everyone have them? I mean, I'm just trying to be. I want.
There should be a tactical reason for the nipples if the dudes have
the shootout. You know,
like shootout, like darts. Pew pew.
Fair treatment all around. That's all I'm saying.
What really killed that movie for me is when they break out the bat credit card, though, when they're doing the auction. Ka-ching.
The colors are
bad.
It
even makes a ka-ching noise when he, it's like, stop it.
I know. It's painful. It hurts to watch. I love the first two.
Ryan Lindy, you know, Garden Gal.
But, yeah. Oh, all right. My next one is Saw 3. I love the first Saw because of the psychological horror, but I wanted a little bit more of it. And Saw 2 didn't really kind of deliver that. Well, Saw 3 said, well, let's just break the fucking back here and we're going to like give it to you in spades. And that's, it's so dark. It's so nihilistic and it's just torture porn. And that's, and I'm like, I'm not enjoying this. There's no story that pulls me in. I'm just watching people get mangled and it's just not anything I want to see keep on watching.
Yeah, that was a whole weird thing too, because again, that's another where you watch a character, you watch Jigsaw die on camera, yet somehow we have Jigsaw in 7 subsequent movies after this.
Yeah, he keeps on coming back.
We literally watched him die on camera.
Yeah.
Because that was the whole point. They kidnapped the doctor to relieve that pressure in his brain.
Right.
That was the whole reason they took her. Was to save him. Yeah. Not good.
Yeah.
Probably the weakest one of all those movies.
I've never seen any of the Saw movies.
The first one I like.
It's very clever because that's the gimmick of Saw is you see all these things that don't seem related. And then when they give you the denouement at the end of the movie, it shows you how everything clicked together. It's kind of like an M. Night Shyamalan thing where there's things you don't really notice until they point them out to you at the end, how they all connect. So a lot of the Saw stuff is clever like that,
At
but
least the first one.
the third one,
Yeah, by then they were like going into the torture porn direction, and it's just there's nothing to it. It's just watching people get murdered in grisly ways.
The fun one is there's a fun one called Spiral, which they were trying to. It's a Saw movie, but they didn't market it as a Saw movie right away because Spiral's the little on the
Clown.
nose of the So and it has Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson. Just to watch it for the novelty of watching Chris Rock and Samuel
Okay.
Jackson, at their A-listiest being in a Saw movie
Wow.
from like. I think it was like 2019, 2020, like right around pandemic, not long ago at all. But it's a weird oddity just to watch because it's an oddity.
All right. Well, my next one is Ghosts of Mars.
Oh, John Carpenter.
When I first saw the movie, I for some reason I remembered liking it. And like, oh, I thought it was pretty good, you know? And then I watched it again, and I'm like, oh my God, I wasn't smoking pot at then. Like, what was wrong with me? Did I fall and hit my head? No, it's terrible, you know?
It is terrible. I'd say I'd throw vampires in there as well. Because that one's pretty bad.
I mean, I like the premise of it, like what we would have
But
seen.
just bad acting.
Bradbury could have, like a ghost of the dead civilization. I can see that being really spooky and like what they kind of tried to do a little bit of in Prometheus, through those holograms, we got to see a little bit like, it could have been really effective. It could have been really cool, like a sci have that sci-fi, but it was so poorly done and executed, and it came off trying to be like a more like a rock video,
Yeah,
music video
late
than
John
anything.
Mars is, late John Carpenter is troublesome all over the place. It just he was very hit or miss and a lot of miss in that time frame with the vampires and Ghost of Mars, all that stuff. Vampires is horrendous. Like I get vampires, I get distracted because James Woods' hair color changes like 14 times in the movie. His hair is never the same color from scene to scene.
It's like
It's
watching
red, then it's brown, it's black, it's red, it's brownish.
Carnosaur. There's like six different color changes between the guy's beret and his matching shirt. It's like watching a Cher concert, Gathfly, do you have one
How did
to
she change so
I
fast?
don't really have any more horror movies that I can think
Okay.
of.
Bacon?
The horror movies. Not off the top of my head.
I got I
I was thinking I spit on your grave, but we already
we
covered
have
that
to
one.
yeah. Well, I've got two more. Then
Okay.
I'll just go ahead and finish up the list and then we'll get out of here. So the next one on my list is the sequel, the third movie in the Human Centipede trilogy. Human Centipede 3. I liked the first Human Centipede. I thought it was one of the most viscerally disgusting movies ever made. Especially when they're out in the field, and he's just going, or out in the yard, he's like, feed her, feed her. And like, oh my Jesus Christ. Whoa. And just their visceral
The look on the
responses to it,
girl's
the look on their
face.
faces is, I'm like, wow, you're selling it. And I want to go vomit now a little bit. Human Centipede 2 is not good because it was overhyped for me. I read the review like, this movie is so gross it would make the Marquis de Sade vomit in his popcorn. I'm like, oh my God, sign me. I am there. I am so fucking there. And it's not. It's boring. It's boring as fuck. And there's no dialogue for the main character. Never says anything. And then there's like one scene where it's really gross because he injects everyone. People are held together with a staple gun. Gives them all laxative. And so they all like explode and squirt everywhere. And that's the only scene that's remotely good, but it's not worth enough to save it. And by the time you get to three, have you guys seen three?
I've not seen any of
No.
them. They do not appeal to me at all.
Okay.
I watch the first one and I'm like, I've seen enough.
The first one's good. But the third
Yeah.
one, the concept of like how many people can we put in the human centipede, and it's at a prison. So now we have all these prisoners, and they want to put like 70 or 100 or 200 or something, like some ridiculous amount. And it's I think it's Udo Kier, I think, is in this, and he's playing the crazy
Of
German
course.
scientist, shocking, who wants to do this giant centipede. And a lot of it's done in front of a green screen, but badly. You know, like
oh,
it has
no.
a video quality. It looks like it's, you know, it's shot. Like some of the scenes stand out. It's you're thinking, oh, this is going to be really interesting, but it's really just kind of boring, and things just happen with off camera, and like, oh, well, I guess that's what we've done now. You know, it's just badly written. So yeah, Human Centipede 3, just utter garbage. And the last one is we did an episode on this on Unsane Radio, a Rob Zombie movie. It kind of violated all the memories of one of our cherished childhood TV shows, The Munsters.
Yeah.
I had to put this on the list because it really truly was one of the worst movies I'd ever seen. The look of it made
couldn't
it look
get through
like,
it.
Like a flat TV set. I mean, you know, didn't look like a movie version of a TV show.
Nope.
It was like, let's
nope.
just make a TV show look like a TV show and put it on a bigger screen.
Yep.
But of the worst kind of writing that was bad in the 70s or in the late 60s. It just wasn't clever. It wasn't funny. It didn't feel warm or genuine or even a good satire. It wasn't
nope.
pointing at anything. It was just, they changed the characters a lot. It just was unnecessary and a violation. I think if Rob Zombie was trying to do something about the Munsters, it didn't feel like the Munsters at all.
Terrible nope. casting. The casting
yeah.
was horrible.
But it's like his Halloween. It's he's taken IP and just, how can I shit all over this? Basically,
yeah.
is that like, how can I cover this as much muck and gack? And people will say, oh, it's an exciting new vision. No, it's not. It's just gack for gack's sake, which is
yeah.
a lot of his movies. Like his, like Devil's Rejects, all those movies, that same thing. It's torture porn again.
Yeah, torture porn. That one, I like The House of a Thousand Corpses. But I saw it one time. I don't know if I'd like it if I saw it a second time, but the next one. And then he did one, some kind of
Devil's Rejects, terrible.
Devil's Rejects. And then the one after that, there was a something about some
Streets
possession.
Of Hell.
No, it was over a radio station, something possession. Salem's,
yeah.
which something of Salem,
then
which
you
is
get
which is of Salem, or it's just
yeah.
terrible, like straight to video schlock and not good. It's just another excuse. I mean, not that, you know, his wife has no problem showing her butt. Fine, I don't care. Show your butt all you want. But at least give me a movie to watch. I've seen your butt. So sit down and
right.
give
Now,
me a
how
movie.
About acting?
Yeah,
acting.
Give me a story that is scary or do something interesting. But I didn't
Right.
like his Halloween movies. I thought they were unnecessary. I don't want to know that this was a real kid because he doesn't act like a real kid. He comes back from the dead. There's something different and horror about it. But if you just say, oh, he came from a bad home and was abused, and like, well, are we supposed to like feel sorry for him or this excuse him? You know,
right.
it just was an unnecessary remake. Like, why do you have to put your stamp on this, which was such a great movie, to make it Rob Zombie version, which is lesser?
Right, exactly. That was what was so good about Halloween is Carpenter didn't have budget. He didn't have all this stuff, so he had to improvise a lot. So the scary stuff, he really almost nobody dies on camera in the John Carpenter Halloween. And there's very, very little blood. Almost no blood at all in that movie. And in Rob Zombie, hey, you know how this movie was so cool that it scared you without the blood and gore? Well, I'm not going to try to scare you here just on the screen with Michael Myers as a villain.
Yeah, Halloween, the first Halloween, or the original, is my favorite horror movie
yeah.
of all time. And I would go to as far as to say it's pretty much a perfect movie. There's really...
It's smart.
No, it's smart. There's no fat on it. It does scene setups that are creepy. And it's almost like he's, what, Jaws. You know,
yes.
He's just unrelenting, you know, like a shark or something like that.
They literally only call him the Shape.
Yeah.
He's the Shape. Because, like, same thing. And as you see a shark in the water, you can't tell what is right. It's the Shape. You
yeah.
see, that's what he was. He was the Shape. And, like, the point of view stuff, like the using the Michael Myers point of view, that was brilliant. I don't know
yeah.
if we've seen that. I don't think we've seen it to that extent.
No, but
least,
it became a trope that was used
right.
afterwards. You saw
oh,
it an
yeah,
awful lot. Like
time, but,
you
yeah.
see that in the beginning of like The Fun House and, you know, all kinds of
yeah.
movies use that.
And
you know.
Carpenter is really smart because he set up that point of view right in the very beginning as little Michael Myers because he's got
mm-hmm.
the mask on. So
mm-hmm.
you're seeing through the little eye holes of his Halloween mask.
Mm-hmm.
So they give you that in the beginning. And that's I just thought that was brilliant.
It forces the viewer to identify with Michael Myers to a degree that they may
yep.
not feel comfortable with. It's part of
right.
romantic isolation. you know. But
great movie.
Yeah.
I have one more I'll throw in there.
Yeah, please.
A horror movie. It is The Blair Witch Project. I can't stand that movie. I was not impressed by it one bit. I didn't care how little they spent on it. It doesn't matter. It was just not scary. It was annoying. You know,
I was rooting for them to die.
Yeah,
like 30 minutes in, I was like, "Can we just kill these people and get more interesting people in the woods?"
Blair Witch 2 is actually not bad. It's like a real horror movie, you know. Then it's a real movie, so
with Jeffrey Donovan in it. I like Jeffrey Donovan a lot. He's in Blair Witch 2.
Yeah, I couldn't watch Blair Witch because I can't do the motion stuff. It makes me too sick, you know?
Yeah, Blue Fez was like that too.
Yeah, so I didn't know it was like that. So I went over to my friend's house and we started watching. I made a big pot of Kung Pao chicken, you know, and I started watching. I'm like, oh Jesus Christ, I'm going to throw up. So I'm like, I can't watch this movie. So I sat the entire movie, ate my Kung Pao chicken. I looked down and listening to it. The last 15 minutes, I thought, got really spooky. I thought that was really good. And this last shot, like in the house, was
the
really
last
effective.
Shot is what makes the movie.
But what makes,
to the last shot.
Yeah, it's like they started the whole found footage craze, and I will blame them forever for that. Because I hate that, because it's lazy. This was innovative. They were innovative. Everyone else was fucking lazy.
Exactly.
Because
it's like every
people just talk, make whatever shit up, and they're going to throw it in the
movie.
You know, like watching Cloverfield. It's like the most inane shit they're talking about going to a party. They're like, shut the fuck up. Give me story, exposition. You know? So I just hate found footage films. They're lazy.
So do I.
I'm not a fan. Like, it was smart when they did it for that movie, but then
This was innovative.
That's what I was saying. It's like after Die Hard, for the next 10 years, every action movie had to be summarized as Die Hard on a blank. And that's kind of after Blair Witch. It's found footage in a party, found footage in a police station, found footage in a bunker.
I get it.
Totally.
Well, guys, I want to thank you so much for stopping by today and joining us for Heavy Metal Horror as we talk about the baddest of the bad, the worst of the worst, Bad Movie Bukkake. As Michael Caine says, I'm spent, and I have multiple socks loaded from all the content that I've squeegeed from my face.
Do you have one that's bad that you like, though, that we had talked about before?
Oh, yeah, you had mentioned – that's right. Do you want to talk about a bad so bad?
Oh, yeah. I Troll 2 was one of mine, and you brought it up on the list. And then Robot Monster is a terrible movie.
Okay.
But I love Robot Monster. Yeah, I love him. So those are the only two I could think of.
Billy Jack falls into that for me. Remember Billy Jack?
Love that.
Yeah, it's so terrible. Like you could tell that there's no professional actors in it. Nobody has any idea how to act, but it is just so goofy and so silly. And Tom Lawton in his bare feet and jeans and his goofy hat.
I love the giant claw.
I wanted one of those hats so bad when I was a kid. That big, I don't even know, had like Indian turquoise around the thing, but real big brim.
You should get one. Like, that'd be awesome.
I'm gonna put this foot and whop you on the side of that head, and you can't stop me. Oh, so cheesy but so good.
Yep.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. And hey, you can find the Midnight Gadfly on Unsane Radio. And Sizzlin' Bacon, tell us about your podcast. Where we got?
I have a couple scripts written. We just need to find time to record. It's going to be the Sizzlin' Bacon podcast. The first season's going to be holiday movie center around holidays. So we got stuff like the trauma Mother's Day, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, because that's a great Christmas movie.
Silent Night, movie. Deadly Night. Yeah.
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Or Violent Night, which is a delightful movie.
So, the David Harbour one?
Yes. Oh, my God.
I love that movie so much. Yeah. Die Hard.
Well, there's a
Die
sequel
Hard
coming.
With Santa Claus.
There's a sequel coming. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
oh.
So yeah. Montag, we would invite you on to the Unsane Radio podcast, but Dr. Head demands to be the only handsome person on the podcast.
I can't blame him for that. He is a handsome bastard. He's very witty and charming. I can only imagine how he must be as good looking as his wit and charm.
I can't even look at the screen.
I get it. I understand. That's why I don't have mirrors in my house.
I have avert eyes.
I fear like waking Montag, up and turning myself into stone, you know?
Like Montag.
I mean, I'm stoned, but, you know, yeah, being stoned is one thing. It's a different thing. So, hey, but you can find Heavy Metal Horror on unsaneradio.com. Listen to full episodes or download to your device. You can find us on Facebook, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. On Instagram, look for Montag Lewis, one word. Our YouTube page, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. If you're watching, that's where you're at. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button. And if you know someone who would like our show, tell them about us. This has been Montag, Master of Illusion. And you've been watching and listening to... All right, guys, bring up the horns.
Heavy Metal Horror.
This is Doug Helbring, and you have been listening to Heavy Metal Horror, the best podcast that you've never heard before.